It's time for a solid hour of business insights and strategies for success on Mind Your Business. And here's your host, the president and founder of Bottom Line Marketing, Yitzhak Saflis.
You're tuned to another edition of Mind Your Business right here on 77 WABC, airing in the New York, New Jersey metro area, and of course worldwide at mybradio.com, mybradio.com. By the way, that is the platform that every single guest that we've ever had on this program over the last nearly 4 years is archived, permanently archived, many of them with a video as well. The easiest way to access every single past guest is by going to mybradio.com, mybradio.com. And the reason why I bring it up so often is because I get stopped about it so often. So all the time, people are saying, you know, I heard you had on John Sculley. Can I go hear that interview? Yes, you can. mybradio.com. By the way, John Sculley is the former CMO at Apple and former CMO at Pepsi. And so many other great guests. We're approaching our 200th show. We've got to do something special about that. That's why I'm just pointing it out. We had so many different C-level executives, and we tapped into their brain, to their knowledge, in order to present that information to you, the great listeners of this program, week in and week out, every single Sunday. We give a special shout out, a thank you to last week's guest, Richard Solomon, noted attorney who shared a lot of great stuff about opening a business, working with partnerships, collection. Which business doesn't need to deal with collection? Hello. So in case you missed that show, mybradio.com, mybradio.com. Also, a special thank you. I've been pointing it out, but there's a reason why we're in the top 10 in New York AM radio, according to the Nielsen ratings. Thank you, the great listeners of this show, for putting us there. Also, a special thank you to the great team here at Bottom Line Marketing Group, who plays a critical backstage support role. Srili, Michal, Eliana, Miriam, Dina, thank you. And to the great team at 77 WABC, James, Matt, Chris, Lexi, Justin, thank you. Also, a special shout out to the various channels that Mind Your Business is syndicated on, the B-Tank Magazine, C-Suite Radio, C-Suite TV. Yep, we're going to have Jeffrey Hazlett on in a couple of weeks. That's going to be an exciting show as well. We're on the OG Podcast Network, Player.fm, iTunes, YouTube. It's all available, as we've mentioned, by going to mybradio.com, mybradio.com. Well, without further ado, we go to tonight's guest, Gabriel Geller, here in studio. Gabriel is the Director of Public Relations and a Wine Education Manager for Royal Wine Company, also known as Kedem. Royal Wine Company is the premier manufacturer, importer, and distributor of kosher wine, spirits, and liquors from around the world. Gabriel is also a wine critic, we're going to hear about that, and a consultant to wineries, hotels, importers, distributors. I hope we get to everything we want to talk with Gabriel, because he's got a lot of knowledge packed into that brain. I don't know how much we'll get to, but hey, it's going to be one exciting show. Gabriel, thank you for joining me here on Mind Your Business.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, everyone here just picked up on that accent. Where are you from?
All right, so I was born and grew up in Switzerland, in the French part of Switzerland,
okay, nice.
In a small city, a small town called Lausanne, near Geneva. And I moved to Israel when I was 14 years old. So I spent a little bit more than half of my life in Eretz Israel, and I moved to New York 4 years ago.
Now, today, you're the wine education manager for a major international wine company. There has to be a journey, right? People think that, someone, they just got a lucky break and they just wound up in a great position. It doesn't work like that. Anyone that listens to the show knows every single guest had a great journey. Tell us a little bit about your journey.
Well, my journey in the wine business started pretty young, you could say. I was 16 years old in high school in Israel. And I was always going back very often to Switzerland for vacation.
Okay.
And I took a summer job when I was 16 in Switzerland for a wine importer there who was dealing mostly with non-kosher wine, mm-hmm. doing, logistics, deliveries, all sorts of small jobs like that. It was well paid because Switzerland has very good salaries.
Okay.
but what was fascinating to me, because I didn't know all that world of wine. We drank wine at home growing up. My parents drank wine on Shabbos and Yom Tov, of course. And my grandfather, actually, who was French and lived with us, was drinking a glass of wine every meal, lunch and dinner, every single day. Really, the real French guy.
Wow.
But for me, it was something like, you know, wine. Okay, it's nice.
A treat.
Yeah,
just reserved.
It was a treat. I didn't know much about it. But when I went working for that company, and I saw so many different types of wine from all over the world, with bottles ranging from like $10 a bottle and up to $1,000 a bottle, I was like, what's the difference? Right. What makes those expensive wines so expensive?
Right.
That company had a beautiful library with many, many books about wine, wine regions, wine varieties, wineries, etc., etc. And during my lunch break, I was reading those books, devouring them, and I was really fascinated. So when I went back to Israel after my vacation, I was trying to taste and discover Israeli wines. Every week I would buy a different bottle for Shabbos. That's how I started developing my palate. That's how it really started. And then I was going back at least once or twice a year to work during vacation for that company.
Mm.
And then when I was in college, a few years later, my former boss from the wine importer in Switzerland, his name is Eli Gazar, he's Jewish.
Okay.
He asked me to source Israeli wines to import in Switzerland.
Mm-hmm.
He said that there was an interest among his customers in Israeli wines and original wines from a different country. That interest came from non-Jewish customers, not people who were not keeping necessarily kosher, but were interested in interesting wines. So he wanted me to go and find those wines that would be well-priced and would be of interest to his customers.
And of course, you were a natural because you worked for him and you were placed in Israel. So like, okay.
Exactly. And I was in college. I had a lot of free time, actually.
No, class By the way, was does not... that go together?
Class okay. was not all day long every day.
Okay.
So I did have some time on my hands. And he offered me a very generous pay for my services. So for months, I went to every possible wine show in Israel,
wow.
to every possible winery, tasted as many wines as I could, and really got to discover and made also connections with all those wineries. And that's how I really got to,
the expert. The expert that you are. The expert. You know, what I love about this description that you just shared, it started with an interest, and like you said, you devoured books. You went through them. You did the research. If people sometimes think that just you can go from point A to point B and skip the steps that are critical for success. You know, I'm not saying people can't catch a lucky break, but in general, in fact, there's a great quote I saw years ago. It was a big actor. He said, someone stopped him and said, I get upset, I get frustrated when people tell me that I had the lucky breaks. They're wrong. People make their own breaks. Meaning the fact that now you have this great position at Kedem, you read all those books back when you were a kid, you did your work in for this company in Switzerland, you did your research in Israel, you went to all these shows. That one thing leads to the next. And of course, that led to the position that you're in today.
Baruch Hashem.
Baruch Hashem. Now, let's talk about the wine business in general. I mean, it's a very competitive market. You know, competition is, in some respects, healthy. It generates interest. But, you know, how does one stay? This is just a general question, but especially for one from your experience in the wine industry, how does one, you know, stay ahead of the competitors in a very crowded field?
It all goes back to the story of Royal Wine and essentially of the Herzog family who owns and operates the company. If we do not go too far back in the past, I will talk about David Herzog, known also as Shmuley Herzog,
sure.
Who was for over 30 years the CEO of Royal Wine. he was a visionary. He really looked forward and wanted to take the company which was known and is still known as Kedem forward. From not just Kiddush wines, sweet wines from Concord grapes. Not that there is anything wrong with them,
right.
But he wanted to expand the world of kosher wine and the kosher palate way beyond that. And he saw absolutely no reason, no issue with the fact that any good wine, fine wine, anywhere in the world could not make kosher. So he sourced wineries all over the world, in France, and then also in Eretz Israel, and of course in California, etc., etc., to produce kosher wines, but of quality, dry wines that are made according to the traditions and the modern way of mm-hmm. making wine mm-hmm. that have been established over the past few centuries, and make them kosher, and that is how we had the first royal wine. We're the first to bring in kosher Bordeaux in the late 1970s, and then 10 years later, in the late 1980s, the really first quality. High-end kosher Bordeaux was made and brought into America. That was the Baron Edmond and Benjamin de Rothschild, au Médoc, which has been made since 1996, every year, almost. I think they skipped only one vintage, 2009, if I'm not mistaken. So many wineries in Israel started popping up, first in the 1980s, and then even more so in the 1990s. And that keeps, you know, happening all the time. Every month, at least, I hear about a new winery in Eretz Israel. So that's an industry that has really blossomed and boomed. And Royal Wine was smart enough to source the very best ones and have a very diverse portfolio with as many types of wines as possible. And that's one of the ways the company stays ahead, because there are, of course, trends in mm-hmm. In any industry, in any market, there are trends. So at some point, you know, wines from this country are popular. And then at one point, they're not so popular anymore. There are other wines from a different country, from a different variety, that are going to be popular. So that allows the company, having, you know, a diverse array of wines from France, from Israel, from California, from Spain, from Italy, that allows the company to always have something to rely on. Okay, so if Israeli wines are not trending for a little while, that's okay. We have plenty of wines from California and France. Oh, if France is not trending so much, we have plenty of wines from Israel. There's always something else we can rely on.
Gabriel Geller is my guest. He is the Director of Public Relations and the Wine Education Manager for Royal Wine Company. We're going to take a short commercial break. When we come back, we're going to discuss what are the current trends in the kosher wine industry. Just want to mention our giveaway this week is the book by Shep Hyken, Be Amazing or Go Home, 7 Customer Service Habits That Create Confidence with Everyone. One lucky listener is going to win a hardcover autographed copy of Shep's book, Be Amazing or Go Home. All you have to do is text over MYB to 64600. Again, text over MYB for Mind Your Business to 64600. One lucky listener is going to win the hardcover book, Be Amazing or Go Home by Shep Hyken. And also a special shout out to Leo Davis, who won Peak Performance by Brad Stolberg. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
Okay, so you're considering a comprehensive medical exam, but you haven't decided where. At Elytra Health in New York City, we know you have a tight schedule and that you only want the best. We also know you have choices to consider. Well, consider that you could have a world-class executive longevity exam at Elytra's state-of-the-art Manhattan Center for Life and Longevity, right in downtown New York City. Think about the fact that the experts at Elytra Health are a hand-selected staff with more than 30 years of experience in executive exams and concierge medicine, and that top doctors in the area refer their patients to Elytra. Something else to weigh is that cardiac imaging, cancer screening, labs, and all other testing is completed in a single five-hour visit with white glove service. Plus, you'll receive the results, advice, and follow-up coordination before you leave. Finally, consider how easy it is to get peace of mind from an Alitra exam now by visiting ElitraHealth.com. That's E-L-I-T-R-A health.com. Alitra Health. Well, above all.
Hey, Joe, give me a minute. I'm going to run the numbers and circle back next week. Post it on Facebook, LinkedIn. Just get it up there.
You're great at what you do, and you're busier than ever. We get that. Imagine if you could devote every minute of your day to running your business and taking it to the next level. Enter Bottom Line Marketing Group. Bottom Line Marketing Group focuses on making your company look great, so you can focus on growing your business. To see some award-winning projects produced by Bottom Line Marketing Group, visit www.bottomlinemg.com. That's www.bottomlinemg.com. Or call CEO Yitzhak Saflis on his direct line for a free consultation at 718-412-3505. That's 718-412-3505. Bottom Line Marketing Group, marketing solutions to grow your bottom line.
And we're back. Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis right here on 77 WABC. My guest this evening is Gabriel Geller, Director of Public Relations and the Wine Education Manager for Royal Wine Company. Gabriel, thank you for taking out of your hectic schedule, especially these days. I mean, Pesach is only, what, less than 4 weeks away, you know. So to take out, you know, some time to share vision, insight, background, trends with the listeners of Mind Your Business is appreciated. Thank you, Gabriel.
My pleasure. Thank you, Yitzhak.
So we teased the audience before the break. We're going to talk about some of the current trends in the kosher wine industry. What are they?
Wow. So something that's interesting about the kosher wine industry is that it does not stand out so much as, you know, having different trends than the mainstream wine industry. It just comes a little behind. So, for instance, the rosé wines started trending in the mainstream market about 6-7 years ago. Mm-hmm. And the kosher wine market caught up about 3 years ago. And so whatever is happening in the mainstream world ends up happening also in the kosher wine world. That is true also with sparkling wines, for instance. I remember when I first started working with Kedem, and I am a big, big, big fan of sparkling wines, okay, and champagne in particular. And I was a little bit disappointed that there were not so many of them. I noticed that it was not selling so quickly, and that has changed dramatically over the past couple of years, and that is just following what's happening in the mainstream wine world.
Now, wine is becoming, you know, more popular among the kosher consumer with each passing year. I mean, it's been popular 10 years ago, 20 years ago, but as we discussed even off the air, it's just that industry has, like, has blossomed so beautifully over the last few decades. How is it? What would you attribute that to? Is it just the fact that wines are made better, they're better quality, or is it that the consumer is more educated? What would you attribute that to?
It's a little bit of both. As the kosher consumer is getting more educated, I would say more sophisticated, if mm-hmm. you like. Mm-hmm. The industry, the wineries, the producers are following in and responding to the demand. We are in 2019, which means that there are a lot of millennials, people not just who were born like around 2000, but let's say since the 1995, right, who are now drinking wine. They are adults. They are of the age of drinking wine. And they did not grow up, as opposed to our parents or grandparents, they did not grow up with mainly or only, you know, sweet kiddush wines. Right. They had access to some very fine wines,
right,
from California, from France, from Israel, and many
a
of
much
them
broader palate, yeah, coming in to to the drinking age, if you will, 21.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And modern technology also. Just like modern technology allows, you know, the kosher food industry to really produce much better quality products and a very diverse array of, you know, different products. The same is happening with kosher wine, and people are really getting into, you know, it doesn't mean that because you're keeping kosher that you should only, you know, eat cholent and gefilte fish. If you do not like that, that's okay. If you like that, that's okay too. But if you like and eat the finest sushi, the finest steaks at some great restaurants or at home, many of those products that you can buy at basically every kosher store. So people also want to drink, you know, proper wine, and that is where that is what's happening. People want to see, you know, more products. They want to see, you know, new wines all the time. That's something that is true to basically every industry. People want to see innovation. They want to see something different, and that is how Israeli wineries have come up with so many types of wines, and there is a demand, of course, for the traditional wine regions. So people want, you know, Bordeaux. Bordeaux is like, you know, the name in the wine world. So there are many kosher Bordeaux now, and they want Spanish wines, and they want Italian wines, and they want wines from Napa Valley, Lake County. Right. They want the best, and there is no reason there shouldn't be the best available out there.
By the way, if we could ask just a question, you know, following the fires last year, How was Royal Wine affected, and how have you come back, if I can ask that question?
Of course. Well, you know, Baruch Hashem, right. As far as Herzog wine cellars are concerned, the vineyards from which we source the grapes to make our wines were virtually untouched.
Not affected.
There were fires all around them, but really by miracle, really, you know, Mes Meshamayim, the vines were not touched by the fires, and we were not affected so much.
Here's just an interesting question for the novice. Okay, you refer to the millennials that are coming of age now. And, of course, they do have some level of experience. They developed some palate because they grew up at their parents' table, and there have been such great options over the last three decades. Let's say someone is just a novice. You know, they had plain Kiddush wine every single week. What is there a particular recommendation that they should, okay, try this particular wine, try this type, and this will start developing your palate?
So I would say yes. I would say that if someone has been only drinking just on Shabbos, just
plain.
some plain grape juice or, you know, Kiddush wine, which is, you know, typically sweet, I would recommend that they start with something that is a little sweet, not as sweet as the traditional Kiddush wine, but something that is not too dry, something that is going to be relatively gentle. So I would recommend some semi-dry, off-dry wines. For instance, there is the very popular line of Jeunesse wines, which is made by Herzog Wine Cellars in California. Those are very, very popular, not just in the kosher market, but also also outside of it, way beyond the kosher market. This is a very good place to start. And and another wine, which I'm just, you know, thinking about right now, is the Pacifica Riesling. So the Pacifica Riesling, coming from Washington, the state of Washington, in the Pacific Northwest, is a beautiful white wine. It's inexpensive. It's under $20, and it's also very, very, very pleasant, off dry. And those are wines that are very well respected outside in the world. And we're not talking about, you know, products that are designed for palate, which is used only to basic products. We're talking about very serious wines, but that would be, you know, very pleasant for people who do not have really any experience.
Now, you touched on Jeunesse, and I'm going to want to talk about the marketing, the brilliant marketing campaigns behind Jeunesse and Bartonura. We're going to take a short commercial break, but I want to remind the listeners our giveaway this week is the book by Shep Hyken, Be Amazing or Go Home. Anyone can benefit from this book, unless you just, you know, you live under a rock. What could I tell you? But if you want to be successful in life, this is certainly great for the business world, but even in personal relationships, this book is simply amazing. Be Amazing or Go Home, 7 Customer Service Habits That Create Confidence with Everyone by Shep Hyken. The book can be yours. A hardcover autographed copy can be yours. All you have to do is text over MYB to 64600. Again, via text, the letters MYB. Send it over to 64600. One lucky listener is going to win Shep's book, Be Amazing or Go Home. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
Hey, Joe, give me a minute. I'm going to run the numbers and circle back next week. Post it on Facebook, LinkedIn. Just get it up there.
You're great at what you do, and you're busier than ever. We get that. Imagine if you could devote every minute of your day to running your business and taking it to the next level. Enter Bottom Line Marketing Group. Bottom Line Marketing Group focuses on making your company look great so you can focus on growing your business. To see some award-winning projects produced by Bottom Line Marketing Group, visit www.bottomlinemg.com. That's www.bottomlinemg.com. Or call CEO Yitzhak Saflis on his direct line for a free consultation at 718-412-3505. That's 718-412-3505. Bottom Line Marketing Group. Marketing solutions to grow your bottom line.
Finally, a payroll service that does things your way. At Brands Paycheck, you're not a number, you're a partner. Brands Paycheck's personalized payroll solutions ensure that your business receives your financial information the way you want it. From complete payroll services and time tracking to benefits administration and HR solutions, Brands Paycheck helps streamline your business's payroll process and maximize productivity. Call 888-757-3020. That's 888-757-3020 to schedule a free consultation. Brands Paycheck services a wide range of industries nationwide, including hospitality, transportation, B2B, B2C, nonprofit, finance, retail, healthcare, real estate, and more. Learn why companies nationwide rely on Brands Paycheck. Call 888-757-3020. That's 888-757-3020 to schedule a free consultation today or visit online at BrandsPaycheck.com. That's BrandsPaycheck.com.
And we're back. Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis. My guest this evening, Gabriel Geller, Director of Public Relations and the Wine Education Manager for Royal Wine Company, also known, of course, as Kedem. Thank you for joining me here on Mind Your Business.
Thank you, Yitzhak.
Well, before the break, we mentioned to the audience we are going to talk about Jeunesse and Bartonura. They're very, very clever, creative marketing campaigns. Not only in the Jewish media, it's in the mainstream media. I've seen outdoor media, it's in bus shelters and outdoor media, subways. Perhaps you could talk about developing a creative ad campaign for a wine product.
Sure. So Bartonura and Jeunesse, really amazing stories there. I would have to give credit to our CEO, Mr. Morty Herzog, who really was one of the main protagonists of the success of Bartonura and Jeunesse. He really saw that Moscato was really growing in popularity in the wine world in general, mm-hmm. and he thought that there was no reason why we could not source some great wine from Italy, and find the best Moscato grapes, and produce every year a wine that would be very consistent in its quality and of the highest quality, and put it into a very prominent blue bottle to market it out there, and that worked wonderfully.
The packaging. Now you're even talking just about the packaging.
Absolutely, the packaging, and of course, what's inside the bottle. It's a wine that is extremely popular.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about nowadays north of 500,000 cases a year.
Wow.
That is between 5 to 6 million bottles every year, and a big chunk of it. I would probably say the majority of it is sold outside of the Jewish market.
Wow. So now let's talk about Jeunesse.
So yeah. Jeunesse is a wine. It's a series of wine produced by Herzog Wine Cellars, which caters to, like I mentioned before, to people who do not want something that is, you know, very sweet, traditional Kiddush wine, and at the same time that is not the very dry, astringent type of wine that we often talk about, and that I personally am a big fan of. We're talking about wines that are made from high quality grapes grown in California, whether it's Chardonnay or Cabernet Sauvignon or Black Muscat, and those wines have a very gentle sweetness to them, and they've really become very very popular both in our community and outside of our community.
And in particular, I want to highlight the advertising for it, which is, you know, very creative. Again, the perfect balance. Even the Jeunesse campaign. Is it marketed to both the non-Jewish and the Jewish market as well?
Yes, it is. It is. So we really noticed that there are a lot of people who were interested in those wines way beyond the Jewish market. There is someone that I am sure you have heard about.
Mm-hmm.
His name is Gary Vaynerchuk.
Of course. And he started in the wine business.
He started in the wine business. He turned his father's wine store into a very, very successful wine store by doing videos online, educating the public about the wines that he tasted in a very down-to-earth, approachable way,
right,
and fun.
Right.
And he was very successful. And when he tasted Jeunesse, we're talking probably over 10 years ago, way over 10 years ago, actually,
mm-hmm.
He was amazed. And he said, that's something, he said, those are the types of wines that are lacking, really, in the market. And this is so well made. Jeunesse is so well made that, you know, he would recommend it to anyone looking to try finer wines, to try better wines as something, you know, to enjoy on a daily basis, or as something, you know, to start with. And he was very, very impressed with the Jeunesse wines, and that really showed, you know, from someone who didn't come from the kosher wine market, that really shows
right, of course,
what a brilliant series of wine it is.
By the way, just to stay on for another minute on the topic of education based marketing, what other types of marketing would you recommend, or, you know, from your success in your position, that a company be doing in today's day and age?
So, to market,
right? Because you touched on video based marketing.
Yeah.
We know video based marketing today is it's critical. And any other ones, just that either that the products are doing presently or that you would recommend?
So it's not about the support. It's not about video or pictures or radio, for instance. I think it's about it's a lot about the content and the way you present it to the consumers. If you take the consumer from a position where you're really, you know, lecturing the consumer, I don't think that goes well most of the time. People want to be able to talk to someone or to read information, to really register and learn information that is, you know, approachable, that is understandable, whatever their level of knowledge and appreciation is. And I think that every company, when you want to reach out to people, you want to reach out to potential customers or existing customers, you really have to be at the same time honest and down to earth.
Now we're going to move to pricing. This is something that every business faces, and it's really a. I mean, you touched on it in the beginning of the show. There are bottles out there for $10 a bottle, and there are some bottles for $1,000 a bottle. What determines the price of a bottle? And I just want to give a shout out here to Nachum Siegel and Mati Herzog and Jay Buchsbaum. There was a show that they had together many years ago where Nachum was interviewing, and they talked about QPR, quality price ratio. It was such a great concept. Perhaps, Gabriel, you can explain what that's all about and how that leads to determining the price of a particular bottle.
Okay. So quality price ratio, QPR, that's really one of my favorite monikers. Okay. I talk about that a lot. Quality price ratio, of course, that's something that goes with any product, not just wine. It's about really what you get, bang for your buck.
Mm-hmm.
There are wines, I would say, that, you know, they cost, say, $15. But the taste of the quality that you usually find in wines are priced 2, 3, or 4 times that.
Mm-hmm.
There are very few of those, and I always love, every time I taste wine, I'm always having the hope that I will, discover a new high QPR wine. So when you take, for instance, the Herzog lineage series from Herzog, those are wines grown in some of the best vineyards in California. There are different varieties. There is Cabernet Sauvignon, there is Pinot Noir, there is Sauvignon Blanc, there is a Rosé, there is a Chardonnay. All those wines are priced under $20, but the taste, that their quality is really on par with wines that are priced usually $35-$40, and that is what we are really looking to make. We are really looking to make wines that provide the highest value. And of course, how do you do that? You do that by, making the product properly. You make the wine properly, you use, of course, the best grapes. Just like cooking, if you want to make if you want to make good food, you need to have good ingredients,
best ingredients,
and as soon as you use. As you use, the proper equipment, and that you're on top of your technique, you should come out with a great dish. So it is the same. It is the same idea with wine.
Now here's just a question, a production question. If let's say you have a wine, isn't straight a Cabernet or a Merlot, but rather a blend. So what decides, or who decides? What percentage of each grape type goes into the blended wine? It's like, I guess, a production type of question.
Absolutely. So if we talk about Bordeaux, for instance, Bordeaux has a tradition to produce essentially blends. They use, grapes that, grow best in that region, that yield the best results, and the winemakers are looking to maintain year in, year out, the same style.
Right.
You know, there is a signature. So of course, wine
consistency. Consistency.
Exactly. There's a consistency of the taste profile, of the quality of the wine, even though you know, wine is affected every vintage, every year is different. There's a different climate, so you're not gonna get exactly the same every year. But the challenge for winery is to really keep every year a wine, a product that is, you know, recognizable by the consumer. So it's not going to be exactly the same as the year before or as 2 years before, but it's going to be in the same line. And so that's what they're trying to do with the blends. That's what they do with the blends. They really, you know, get the best grapes from their vineyards, and they try to put together a blend. So 1 year they'll use, for instance, 60% Cabernet Sauvignon, 20% Merlot, and 20% Petit Verdot. The next year they will see that upon the quality of the grapes, the ripeness of the grapes, they can use less Cabernet Sauvignon, and they'll do, say, 53% Cabernet Sauvignon, and then 37% Merlot, and then 10% Petit Verdot.
Does it affect the labels? Do the labels have to be redone? Or
No, they do not have to be redone. The back labels, for instance, for many of the wines that come from what is known as the Old World.
Okay.
That's France, that's Spain, that's Italy. Basically, you know, Western Europe. Most of the wines coming from there are usually going after the region they're made. So very often you won't see a breakdown of the grape varieties on the label. Certainly not on the front label, because again, when a wine says Chateau Giscourt, is Chateau Giscourt. You know, whether the blend is 50% this or 60% that in 2014, then in 2015, then 2016, and so on, is not so relevant. What is relevant is that the wine, of course, is of quality and is recognizable. That is the style of Giscourt. When I drink this wine, even if, you know, if you're a wine connoisseur and you really know winery well and its wines, you want to be able to say, oh, this tastes, you know, like the style of Chateau Giscourt. It's maybe not exactly the same as the 2012 was or as the 2003 was, but it is very, very similar in many, many ways. So you want your customers to be always able to recognize the product.
Gabriel, you know, Pesach is around the corner. Can I ask you, what do you drink at the Seder?
That is a great question. So usually what I like to do...
And you do the same both nights?
I do not do the same both nights.
Okay.
I apply the same principle,
okay,
both nights, but I do not drink the same wines both nights. Usually for the first Seder, I will go always for the first two cups. For the first two courses, I will go with a rosé wine,
okay,
which is refreshing. It's relatively light, easy to drink, and usually I will do, you know, a different rosé for cup number one and cup number two.
Okay.
And then with Shulchan Aruch, with the meal, I usually go with a heavier red wine,
okay,
usually an aged, very well aged red wine, something really, really special to go along with the meal. And then I go back usually to rosé for the last cup. The difference between the first and the second night is that I usually try to go with Israeli wines the first night.
Hmm.
You know, it's
so special.
It's Chag HaGeula.
Right.
It's redemption.
Shalim, right?
It's Yas Mitzrayim.
special.
So, and you know, the second night, because the second night, you know, is in Galus, something which I didn't have to do for
That's
16
right.
years.
That's right. You kept one day for me for part of your life. That's
so
right.
Yeah, I go with non-Israeli wines.
Wow. My guest this evening is none other than Gabriel Geller. He is the Director of Public Relations at Royal Wine Company and, of course, the Wine Education Manager. We still have some more time. We have a couple more questions to go through. We're going to take a short commercial break, but I just want to remind the listeners, if you text over MYB to 64600, you will be entered into a drawing to win Be Amazing or Go Home. It's going to one lucky listener, a hardcover autographed copy by Shep Hyken, Be Amazing or Go Home, 7 Customer Service Habits That Create Confidence with Everyone. One lucky listener is going to get it. Text over MYB to 64600. Good luck. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
Hey, Joe, give me a minute. I'm going to run the numbers and circle back next week. Post it on Facebook, LinkedIn. Just get it up there.
You're great at what you do, and you're busier than ever. We get that. Imagine if you could devote every minute of your day to running your business and taking it to the next level. Enter Bottom Line Marketing Group. Bottom Line Marketing Group focuses on making your company look great so you can focus on growing your business. To see some award-winning projects produced by Bottom Line Marketing Group, visit www.bottomlinemg.com. That's www.bottomlinemg.com. Or call CEO Yitzhak Saflis on his direct line for a free consultation at 718-412-3505. That's 718-412-3505. Bottom Line Marketing Group. Marketing solutions to grow your bottom line.
Missed an episode of Mind Your Business? We've got you covered. Check out our YouTube channel, Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis, to hear interviews with business executives and thought leaders whenever and wherever you want. That's Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis.
And we're back. Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis right here on 77 WABC. Tonight, like every Sunday night at 10 o'clock, we have a fantastic guest in studio, Gabriel Geller from Royal Wine Company. Gabriel, thank you for joining me here on Mind Your Business.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Thank you. Well, we still have a bit of time, probably a little under 10 minutes. Let's talk about some of the awards. I mean, Royal Wine Company has such a vast portfolio. I'm sure you've won many awards, but perhaps you could talk about, you know, 2 or 3 or maybe 4 of ones you're really proud of that you've won this year.
Sure. So it's actually an interesting question, because something that I did today in the office was to choose some of the wines that recently won, you know, high scores and awards to be shown in the wine magazine that we publish every year for Pesach. Mm-hmm. I had to choose 40 wines to show, and it was very difficult because I had about double that to choose from, but I couldn't show all of them, and I really had to decide, okay, which one is going to be more interesting and more exciting to to show.
Right.
So one of those wines would be the Clomessora from Spain. That is a very that's a fantastic story. It's a fantastic place. I was there myself a few months ago at the winery in Spain. It's 1.5 hour south of Barcelona.
Okay.
It's the first winery to be owned and operated by Sephardi Jews in Spain since the Inquisition.
Wow.
And they make fantastic wines. Every year, all of their wines win awards and high ratings from the most prestigious competitions and wine publications. It's really a place to visit if you happen to go to Spain. It's worth the 90 minutes drive there. That would be one of my choices. Another wine for which I have a particular affection is the Herzog Special Reserve Lake County Cabernet Sauvignon. This is one of the new wines that were added to the Herzog Winery portfolio in recent years, coming from a region which is north of Napa Valley. It's really like the up-and-coming region of California. And that wine has gotten 90 plus scores every single year since its inception in 2014. I'm impressed every single year with the rising quality with that wine.
Yeah, moving along, I want to talk about gifting, using wine as a present for a business partner, a client, sometimes even a vendor. what would you recommend is a great kind of like the perfect gift for in a business environment?
So in a business environment, what I would recommend is a very special wine that can age for a long time.
Okay.
As a symbol to, you know, the importance of long-lasting
relationships.
Relationships, yeah. Exactly. If I were to choose a wine in particular, it could be, for instance, the Caramel Limited Edition from Israel. That's a wine that usually ages very, very well, between 10 to 15 years. And if you're looking for a wine from Bordeaux, for instance, you could go with Chateau Malartic La Gravière, which is a fantastic classified growth, Grand Cru Classé in French, from Pessac-Léognan. The 2016, which was released recently, is really incredible. And that's a wine that can age 20, 25 years, perhaps even more. So talking about long-lasting relationships, long-lasting wines are even better.
Now, each winery, if we could, let's talk about the world of marketing, which is so fascinating to so many of the listeners of Mind Your Business. Each winery has a unique story. Is there a particular story that really inspires you, you know, in a very special way?
In a very special way, yes. It may be surprising to many. That would be Carmel Winery in Eretz Israel.
Let me hear.
Carmel Winery is the largest Israeli winery, or one of the two largest Israeli wineries. It was founded in 1882, end of the 19th century, by the Baron Edmond de Rothschild.
Mm-hmm.
The Rothschild family,
mm-hmm.
and big, prominent, wealthy Jewish family. With, yeah. Exactly, philanthropist, prominent in France and in the UK. He was the owner of Chateau Lafite Rothschild in France, one of the most prestigious wineries in the world, one of the most expensive wines as well. And he gave to Carmel Winery when he founded it, when he provided the money to establish the winery, he provided them with rootstock from the vines from Chateau Lafite. He was willing to go all the way to provide not only financial support, but all the equipment, technology, knowledge to produce the very best wines in Eretz Israel. And that winery has gone through a lot since its inception. And after a very rough, about 70 years, between 1905, something like that, and 1976, the winery really bounced and started the Israeli wine revolution, and released the first high quality dry Cabernet Sauvignon from Eretz Israel, and that is really where and when the Israeli wine revolution started.
Gabriel, we are closing in on the show, a great show. In case you're just tuning in, no worries. By Tuesday, this entire episode will be up at mybradio.com, mybradio.com. Before I get to my last question, first I want to remind the listeners, where can they find out more information about the vast portfolio of all your brands that you carry?
Of course. So we have a website, which is royalwine.com. And you can, of course, follow us on Twitter, on Instagram, Royal Wine Corp, on Facebook, of course. And we publish very very regularly posts, new wines, and exciting events to discover the best kosher wines.
Now, my last question is going to be a takeaway to share with the listeners. But before I get to the last question, perhaps you can tease us any new labels coming out in the market, any new brands that you're launching that you could share on the air.
So, actually, I cannot really share any new wines that are coming now.
That's fair.
Not because I do not want to or because I cannot, but simply because we just unveiled all of them a few weeks ago at the Kosher Food and Wine Experience at KFWE.
So the cat's out of the bag.
The cats are out of the bag. And of course, there's plenty of interesting wines and great wines coming out in a few months or over the next year. And stay tuned because they're well worth seeking out.
So Gabriel, we're wrapping up a great show. What final takeaway could you share? It could do with marketing, packaging, production, something that you could share as a takeaway for the listeners of Mind Your Business.
Well, I would say that you should get to learn and read a label of a bottle of wine when you walk into a wine store, because most of the information that you're looking for to learn about a wine is usually found there. Of course, the name of a winery, the region it comes from, the grape varieties, those are usually indicators of a style, of a quality of the wine. And you should learn to see which characteristics, which names, which words to look for on the label, and that will already help you without needing to ask to advise you on a bottle of wine. You should be able to help yourself, and that would be my advice to the listeners.
Gabriel Geller from Royal Wine Company, thank you so much for joining me here on Mind Your Business. Well, that wraps up a great edition. Tune in again next Sunday night for another great edition right here on 77 WABC.
77 WABC Radio presents Mind Your Business, hosted by founder and president of Bottom Line Marketing Group, Yitzhak Safliff. Mind Your Business focuses on business and marketing strategies for success. Tune in every Sunday night for this intriguing weekly radio show that's chock full of business insights and marketing strategies that will help you get ahead of the game. Host Yitzhak Safliff has been producing pioneering and creative marketing work for over two decades. He leads a team of marketing experts who help their clients build their brands and grow their businesses. Now, he and his guests offer their business and marketing expertise to you every Sunday night on Mind Your Business.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.